It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. At age 15, Sophia Sterling Angus attended her first TED Talk. TED, by the way, stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. The talks are designed to be short and powerful, 18 minutes or less. Sophia was so motivated by the event that she was inspired to plan her own TED Talk. And now, as a 17-year-old high school senior at the Ellis School for Girls, Sophia has organized a group of volunteers to create TEDx Youth at Hot Metal Bridge at the Carnegie Museum of Art. One thing that made the event unique was the fact that it was developed with a younger demographic in mind. Sophia Sterling Angus joins us now in Studio A to talk about developing her TED Talk and what she thinks about the future of TED. Sophia Sterling Angus, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what made you want to develop your own TED conference is how we would refer to it.
Right. So I'm a millennial. That's the theme of our TEDx Youth at Hot Metal Bridge. And the spark, I think, really came from I think a lot of people have a really misconceived notion about my generation. We're lazy, we're entitled, we're narcissistic. But in fact, we're a group of people who are really committed to social change. And to some extent, that's not new. But like in the 60s, there were lots of people who wanted to change things. But the difference is they were rebels. And the millennial generation, 61% of them believe they're personally responsible for changing the world around them.
So that those notable aspects of the boomer generation that you're referring to, that you're saying there are a lot of similarities. That's a good reference point or benchmark for people. You're saying there are a lot of similarities between millennials and that particular culturally impacting generation.
Yes. Yeah. I think the idea that they're both socially responsible for things going on around them is the same. But the difference, I think, is millennials were lucky to be born in a time where they had a lot of tools to or they will have a lot of tools to solve the problems around them. Most millennials have supercomputers in their back pockets. They can connect with every person on the planet who has connection to the internet. And I think those are tools that make solving problems a lot easier.
Sure. Well, and the TED Talks are about fleshing out ideas. And clearly you, as others have been, were taken with the notion and the concept here. And there's a difference between what you did and the TED Talks that are sanctioned by the national organization.
Yes.
So explain the difference between TED and TEDx and,
sure.
and what you did that was a little bit of a that kind of branched off from the mainstream TED Talk.
Yes, of course. So the main difference between TED and TEDx, I think you can think of TEDx as a kind of franchise of TED. There's a pretty grueling, long application process for communities to apply for TED, for a license, to plan their own TEDx events. And basically, in exchange for they're using the rights to their branding, the same structure as TED, then people can obtain a license, and then TED will own all of their content. So, and they can upload the TEDx talk videos to their website and distribute them.
So with this event, what did you want to do that would be different or unique in comparison to other TED talks that you've seen?
So I think the theme plays a large role in the atmosphere of the TEDx conference, which is huge. It's really different from watching an 18-minute clip online, seeing a series of 9 speakers all talking about the same kind of thing and networking with other people who are passionate about the same theme. So I was interested in starting a dialogue about the millennial generation and having an event that was planned by other young people for young people.
And had a TED Talk been organized like this before for youth and by youth?
No. So I think a lot of my inspiration for starting this event came from TEDx Grandview. I attended in 2014 and or 2013, and then I was an intern the following year on the planning committee. And it was so fantastic. If you have a chance to go, you should definitely go. There'll be another one this year. But I was the only young person. And the second year, we actually realized that because we ordered 499 wristbands for everyone to drink alcohol at the after party. Because I was the one person out of 500 that couldn't. So I realized, like, wow, there's no one else my age around here. So that's why I think I wanted to start one for younger people.
And so some of the speakers you brought in, talk about who you chose.
Oh, sure. So we had 9 speakers. About half of them were from Pittsburgh. and half of them came from all over the country, which we didn't expect. It's like a side effect of using Twitter to send out your guest application.
So people heard about this and said, oh, look, there's a TEDx talk conference for young people really aimed at the millennial generation.
Yes.
We have to get to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we had one application. We had applications from everywhere. But one of the people we took were a team of two 12-year-olds from Chicago who wanted to talk about the importance of being socially conscious of an environment or of a culture when you're going to work with the environmentalism in the area. So that was – it's called CR2, and they're trying to save coral reefs. But they said, like, don't sweep in as Westerners and ignore the culture. Be sort of conscious of that. So they were brilliant. But from Chicago, which we did not realize.
But you also had speakers who are not considered to be of the millennial generation.
Yes.
So what do you think they brought to the event?
Well, I think it's sort of short-sighted to think that the only thing you can learn about your generation is from other people in your generation. Obviously.
See, not everybody used to think that way.
Oh.
I mean, well, the boomers, or, you know, mm-hmm. back in the 60s, are you familiar with the phrase, don't trust anybody over 30?
Yes.
So you're saying that's not necessarily a good thing to believe.
Well, the whole point is to solve problems, and like problems like poverty didn't just start when millennials were born. These are kind of age-old things, and there's no point in starting from square one all over again. I think speaking to people who have been tackling with these kind of challenges for a long time is really important.
How do you feel about the way that your generation – it feels so funny to sit across and say, your generation, my generation. But, you know, I guess there's really no other way to say it. So how do you feel about the way your generation is perceived by people who are older? You just said a very you just reflected a very enlightening way of thinking that mm-hmm. That we really need to incorporate the minds of many, and we can't limit ourselves to just our own perspective. But what is the perspective that you think people have about millennials? How do you feel you're being perceived? And was your event trying to shed light on your generation?
Yes. So I think my event, or I think millennials have pretty. A lot of negative stereotypes. And I think people are realizing
such
more and more.
Such as,
like, the first book I ever read about millennials was called The Me Generation. And then there was the narcissism epidemic. Like I feel like I've been interested in this topic for a long time, and almost all of the literature out there about millennials and research studies were about really negative parts of their – or aspects of the generation. But I think that's changing. I think people are starting to realize – that they're actually a very empathic generation. They're very concerned about other people. They have a lot of they're very fluid with being committed to different, like, political parties, which some people think is a bad thing, but I think shows that they're open-minded. I don't know. I think people are starting to see more and more that there are a lot of positive characteristics about my generation.
One of our interns, Nikki Abin, covered the event, your event, and got these comments from some of the young adults who attended.
Why I came here today was really because this is where people come together to share their passion.
Also the youth, of course, is a lot of young people were involved. Young people organized it, young people came. When you have people in your own generation doing such brilliant things, it's really energizing, and it really makes you want to go out and make a difference.
I think the feeling at the end, the woman who, Vanessa, the last speaker, how she was able to tell the story that wove all the different pieces and parts from the previous speeches was really, really powerful, and shows how everybody in their passion can create something and make a difference. And so in a way that we don't need to give up, and this next millennial generation can really solve some of those problems that they talked about having existed for a long time now.
I would have to say most of the TED Talks that I've seen up to this point are targeted at huge issues and trying to reach an audience that, frankly, is already kind of far down the path. They're adults. They're leading their lives. It's very difficult to sort of get engaged and do meaningful work on some of the issues that come up. So you see the TED Talks centered on an adult audience, and it's good, it's motivational, but I don't think it has nearly as much impact as bringing these messages to kids who still have time, haven't selected their path, haven't selected a vocation yet. It provides a much greater opportunity for real change, I think, if you can engage people younger.
You know, a lot of the things said tonight were, you have power to change the world. And, you know, I guess it makes me think about, what do I want the world to be like? It makes you want to do a lot of things. It makes you want to be compassionate. It makes you want to be social. It makes you want to work hard to achieve your own personal dreams. It also makes you realize how brilliant people are. It makes you realize that if these people can be so brilliant, you know, I can too.
The comments of young people attending a recent TED conference organized by Sophia Sterling Angus, a 17-year-old high school senior at the Ellis School for Girls here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This is 90.5 WESA, and we're talking about TED Talks, the TED conference that Sophia organized specifically for people of her generation, the so-called millennial generation. And one of the themes that we heard there, Sophia, that came up was this idea of change, which every generation talks about or feels needs to be addressed. What is the change that is important for not just millennials, but everyone to focus on, do you think?
I think being connected. It sounds kind of easy now when you have like a million social websites that you can use to connect with other people. But being consciously connected is something that I think people need to work on a lot. And it was something a lot of our speakers addressed, being empathic and just realizing that there are 7 other billion people in the world and you have the ability to change all of their lives.
What speaker do you think had the most impact on your audience?
So that was something that was interesting. I obviously, after the event, at the after party, I asked everyone, who was your favorite speaker? I really wanted to know. And I didn't get the same answer ever. Like, everyone liked someone different, which I thought was reflected that we had picked a really diverse group of speakers, but also it made me excited that everyone had such diverse interests.
And so you don't think there was any one particular speaker that really stood out?
I really don't. So the last one was Vanessa German, and she's a spoken word poet.
Sure.
And
not a millennial.
And not a millennial, no. And she, I asked her, Vanessa, I want your talk to be drawing on all the other people's talks, and the people in the audience have all heard for the last few hours different ways they can change, and I want you to inspire them and call them to action. And so I think her talk really tried to pull at people or reach out to them emotionally, and I think it really resonated with people in the end. So I think that might have been something that they would remember the best. But for instance, Tamara Galen talked about mental illness, and Beth Horne talked about like Facebook and social media. So I think there were different people that struck different chords with audience members.
And why is it important, do you think, for millennials to be part of events like this, to have a TED conference and also incorporate older generations?
Mm-hmm. So when you think about networking opportunities available for young people, they're pretty slim. So I think it was really wonderful.
They are? I guess that would not necessarily have occurred to me.
No, well, I mean, you can go to school and you can hang out with people or you can go to dances, but there aren't a lot of places where you can have really deep, meaningful, intellectual conversations with other people your age. And it was really wonderful to see my friends and people who weren't even my friends, who I didn't know, have these kind of discussions in that kind of setting. I had never talked with them or seen them talk about things like that they were really passionate to change in the world. So I think that that's one huge reason why it's important to have these kind of conferences.
And deep, meaningful conversations like the one we're having right here now.
Thank you.
Now, I understand that you started by creating your own TED Talk model at the Ellis School called Speaks.
Yes.
Based on the talks that you helped develop with your classmates, what do you think the future of the TED Talk might look like? And again, for somebody just tuning in going, what are they talking about? What's a TED Talk? It refers to technology, entertainment, and design, short, powerful talks. No longer than 18 minutes, but that could change.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, how do you see it changing?
The conference itself?
Yeah, and the nature of the talks.
Well, I actually think that the fact that they're 18 minutes is really great. They make them really powerful because you have to compress a lot of you have to make all the information very succinct.
Right. And they say that our attention spans are, you know, that 18 minutes is about as much as you have before somebody starts going, gee, I wonder what they're having for lunch today.
Yes.
So, I mean, but if our attention spans are getting smaller, what are we looking at in the future? An 8-minute talk? An 8-second talk?
So I was actually really worried about this when I was planning the conference, because they have to listen to 9 talks, and then you also have to include 2 TED videos. So people are sitting there for 11 talks that are 20 minutes with food breaks and things like that. So I was a little worried people were going to start sleeping or something. But that didn't happen. And I think what is actually more important about the 18 minutes is the diversity of the talks. So you're sitting there for a long time, but you're not always listening to the same thing. You're jumping from learning about the importance of awkwardness, which was Julie Sokolow's talk, to something like David Burstein's depiction of what the millennial generation should look like. There's this huge wide range of things you're learning about, and I think that's only possible because they're a little more succinct and shorter.
Sophia Sterling Angus is a senior at the Ellis School for Girls, who organized her own TED Talk and joined us here in Studio A to talk about it. Thanks for being with us. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Coming up, singer-songwriter Justin Curry on what happens when you schedule a concert and nobody shows up. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.